So our next beautiful actress is going to be a storyteller. I was thinking about, she's such a shining jewel for this community. And she was blinding me in my eye, and I couldn't think very well. But she's about to blind your eyes. I just want to tell you. Eileen Karpfinger is native to Wisconsin. And after 28 years all the way out in California, we are blessed that they and her family have come here to Wisconsin. She is a delightful, conscious person. I know you're going to love this story, so I want to welcome Eileen. Come on up here.
It's way too high, so I'm going to just bring this down. So my unexpected gift, it comes in the form of a flyer that changed the course of my life. And this story begins, I'm going to take a deep breath. This story begins when I'm 3.5 years old, and my mother's packing me, the youngest of four kids at the time, into the back of a station wagon in a really cold, dark morning to bring me downtown Milwaukee to a church that has a used piano sale. And I remember walking down this ramp to a dim-lit, low-ceiling basement of this church where there's pianos lining all of the walls and hallways of this church, and there's people walking all over the place, and I'm just following my mom with my blanket. And she finds a piano eventually, and she has me stand there and guard the piano that's going to be ours while she goes off to find the person who we're going to buy it from. Yes, I'm 3.5 years old. Eventually, this piano makes it to our house, and then eventually to the next house into our unfinished basement. And this piano is an upright grand piano, so it's really tall, and it goes all the way to the ground. And it's one of these pianos that all the strings go all the way through, instead of some of these pianos, they kind of curve and things like that. So as you play this piano, as anybody plays a upright grand piano, your entire body is getting the tone of this piano all the time. Well, I would play this piano. I took to this piano, and I played this piano, and I sang, and it became something that I did daily, and it became a big part of who I was. And I would sing when I was sad, and I'd write songs about being happy, and I would use this music as a way to reset my day, and it became a way for me to navigate through life. And as the years went by, I was nearing high school ending, you know, graduation, and I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, and I'm offered a scholarship, a 3-year full scholarship for UW-Whitewater's School of Music, and for classical voice and classical piano. So I take that scholarship, and I spend the next 3 years beating my love of music out of my bones. So I drop out after 3 years because I'm not going to pay for that fourth year when I don't even know what I want to do with my life. And I end up in Outward Bound in Colorado for an instructor course, and I end up working there for a while, and I teach rock climbing and mountain climbing and river rafting and things like that. And then I head home to Wisconsin again, where I throw all my credits at an advisor and say, what can I graduate in quickly? And they said, pick a liberal arts. So I picked psychology, and I got a degree. And then as a reward, I took myself around the world. And I traveled around the world solo for a while. And if any of you have done this and been with strangers every day for a course of time, you realize that you're reinventing yourself as you go day by day. And for the sake of this story, I'm just going to skip over a whole bunch of stuff and get to the points that make me go towards this story. So I'm in Tasmania, which is below Australia. And I've just arrived for the celebration of the Sydney to Hobart sailing race. There's a big celebration that happens there on New Year's Eve. And so I'm there for this celebration. And the next day, I need a ride back to Sydney, and I'm offered a crew position on one of these really big yachts that races from Sydney to Hobart. They need to get this boat back. I need to get back to Sydney. It's perfect. Between Sydney and Hobart, Australia, is the Bass Strait, and the Bass Strait is the roughest seas in the world. I did not know that. I know how to sail, but that was... So anyway, we're on our way. I happen to be the oldest on the crew, and I'm 24 years old. The captain was 22, I know that. And we're sailing this 40-foot racing yacht back through this water. And we come upon a calm in the storm, or calm before a storm. And there were 40-foot swells. Kid you not. What a 40-foot swell feels like is you're standing on Main Street, and then you're on top of the Fortney, and then you're back on Main Street, and you're on the Citizens Bank, and then you're back on Main Street. It is that big of a climb. And needless to say, I was very seasick, and I'm trying to sleep it off in the cabin, and so I go and lay down in the cabin, and I hear a voice in my head say, I'm going to be a doctor. And I'm like, I know nothing about where this voice came from. I know nothing about, it was just laughable because I'm a musician, I'm an athlete, this is just laughable. So I let it go, and the storm's about brewing now, and I gotta get back on deck to help with the sailing, so I did that. And I just forgot about it. And a couple of times throughout this trip, that happened a couple more times. And the next one, for the sake of this story, I'm in Cambodia during a UN-staged election with tanks rolling down the street. I'm in the Heart of Darkness Cafe, and it's July 26, 1993. It's my golden birthday. I'm turning 26 on this day, and I'm in this bar with UN peacekeepers who are soldiers. I'm in there with reporters, I'm in there with a few other travelers, and word gets out that it's my birthday, and I, you know, we're celebrating, and as the night rolls on, it's getting a little quieter, and I'm getting nostalgic because it's my birthday, and I hear this voice again, and this time it says, I'm going to be a licensed doctor by the year 2000. And I'm like, that's interesting, there's a date there, and I just let it go again. Long story short, I make my way back to Wisconsin before my 27th birthday. I head to Utah for a winter of skiing, and then I make my way to with a fellow telemark skiing boyfriend to Long Beach, California, where I'm going to study for my MCAT, and I'm going to finish my prerequisites for medical school. And I'm there doing this. Oh, and my boyfriend is going to be in the shipping industry, so that's why we're there. I make my way, I'm studying, and I go for a run, and I run down to the local health food store, and I grab my green drink, and I'm checking out, and there on the counter is a stack of flyers, the kind of flyers that you see, like the bagger's going to take one and stick them in every customer's bag. And this flyer says, we're two chiropractors. We moved here from Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's all I saw. And I grabbed a flyer, because here I am from Wisconsin, and I don't have any friends. There's Green Bay Packer fans, maybe. And so I grab the flyer, and I run home. And on my home phone, because this is all we had back then, I call the number. And a woman answers, and turns out to be the woman in this couple. And I remember she's washing dishes, and she's got her baby on her back, and I'm thinking, what kind of craziness is this, a baby on your back? Like, what is that? And anyway, we keep talking, and we become friends, and I start doing this thing that they call chiropractic, which is this whisper touch stuff, and I'm feeling all right. I'm already really healthy, and so I don't really notice anything, but I then take off on my, I have a few months in, I'm going to go run the LA Marathon as my next marathon that I run. And the funny thing is, the day before this marathon, I decided to do a 50K because I'm just feeling good. And you don't do that before a marathon the next day. But I did. And then I ran the LA Marathon. And then after that marathon, I had no recovery time. I could have run another one. And I took almost exactly 4 minutes off of my marathon time. And I'm thinking, what is this chiropractic stuff? This is all that I've changed. So now I'm paying attention. Chiropractic is going to be something I recommend to my patients as a medical doctor. A few months later, I'm invited to a chiropractic philosophy thing called Lyceum in the Carolinas. And I go to that, and two things happen at that event. One guy says, chiro means hand. And I'm thinking, I do a lot with my hands. And another guy says, the founder of chiropractic was a magneticist. He worked with magnets, and that chiropractic is founded on tone. I have been training my entire life with music coming through my body, with ivory keys on this keyboard, and rock climbing and everything, and I realized I've been a chiropractor in training my entire life. And so I leave this seminar knowing that I guess I'm changing course and I'm going to be a chiropractor. So I apply for chiropractic school. I get in. I take a 4-year program in 3 years. I have 4 national boards to take. Each of those are only offered twice a year. You have to pass that one, and if you don't, you can take it 6 months later. I have 2 state boards to take, one for California and one for Wisconsin. Now all this happens, and I'm sitting in my kitchen waiting for my license to show up so I can actually get to work. And I, one day, on a winter in Northern California, standing in my kitchen, I see a letter from the state of California, and I open it up, and I fall to the floor because it says, Eileen Karpfinger, Doctor of Chiropractic, granted December 31st, 1999. The people that were on that flyer are Drs. Paul and Paula Grenier. And the baby on Paula's back was Misa Grenier. And that's my story.
Let's give another round for Eileen.